Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 2:15 a.m. at a Serbian nightclub, and you're listening to Night Call. Hello and welcome to Night Call, a call-in show about our dystopian reality. My name is Emily Yoshida. I am on the line with
Molly Lambert and
Tess Lynch.
Later on, we're going to be joined by Joan Ford to talk about Halloween, fall, and why fall starts on July 5th. So stay tuned for that. We had a night call we want to kick things off with. We have been talking actually now for the past few weeks about AI, about their consciousness slash lack of consciousness and the possibility of it ever existing. So we got a fun little call about that.
Hi, Michael. First time caller from Kentucky. I just wanted to throw in that when you were talking about AI and the idea of making itself conscious, and then somebody's bringing up making the AIs like democratic or whatever, or have to come to a consensus. And it just made me think of Evangelion. And if I remember correctly, the supercomputers in that show, they have three of them and they have to come to like a consensus before they like act or follow orders or whatever. And I think there are times throughout the show that the computers actually like don't necessarily do what they want because the decision the computers come to might be like, you know, differently aligned or intended than like the initial order that the people operating like put in or whatever. But anyway, love the podcast. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for the call. Thanks for bringing Eva into it. Yeah. Do you guys want to hear about the Magi system?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's default to Evangelion expert Emily.
So it's such a wild idea. And I think maybe subconsciously I was thinking of this when I talked about like the AI coming to a consensus, because in the show there's the system is called the Magi system. And so they have it for this, the main base that most of the stuff in the show takes place. And like you would think, okay, so they made like three supercomputers and they like, you know, they're basically like setting up for like a fail safe in case one of the supercomputers goes wonky or whatever. So you have to have this consensus between the three of them about any decisions that are made. It's basically this thing that replaces like a Congress for this this sort of militarized sub-community. But this is the thing that's like silly about it, is that the computers have been uploaded with the personality of one woman, just three different facets of her personality. It's like one of the characters' moms. And one is her as a scientist, one is her as a mother, and one is her as a woman. And so all of the decisions from this like military organization are made by the scientist, the mother, and the woman of Dr. Naoko Akagi. And it gets hacked at one point. It's a pretty good episode. It's sort of funny. It's like, it's one of these things that like you're with it as like a sci-fi, like a just pure like hard sci-fi concept, until you're like, wait, what? Why would they let anybody do that? And also like, it's, again, like the reason this doesn't exist in real life is like it depends on this technology that we don't have and that I don't think we'll ever have, where you can like sync with a machine and like imprint your personality on it. So wait, in the
wiki that you sent us for this, there are different branches that also have the trios of Magi computers too.
Yeah. So all these different bases have their system, their trio of computers. So it's the same principle, but they could be imprinted with different personalities. We don't know necessarily.
Whoa.
This has become a podcast where Emily just explains Evangelion.
Yes.
Oh, no, that is a different podcast that I need to get paid money for. It's like a funny AI idea. I like to just be a connoisseur of AI ideas in science fiction, even if they're completely not like practical or feasible at all.
Did you guys ever watch the show Out of This World?
Oh yeah.
It was a sitcom from the 80s where a girl's dead father, I believe, was in like a crystal.
Was it her father? It was, that show was crazy town.
It was
and
a
she
sitcom?
Would, like, ask yeah. advice, yeah.
You know, there were just like a lot of weird high concept sitcoms in the 80s.
Yeah. The Alf era.
Yeah, the cocaine era.
Yeah.
But she was an alien in that one. She was an alien, but she communicated with her father through like a crystal.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like I'm looking it up right now. It was the NBC primetime there.
Yeah. There were a lot of sitcoms that have plot lines that sound like anime. There was also Small Wonder, which is like...
Oh, yeah. Small Wonder is a total anime.
Robot
Wait,
girl.
Just to be the clarifier on Out of This World, it was a girl named Evie who discovers on her 13th birthday that her father, Troy, is an alien. I'm reading this from Wikipedia, from the planet Antares Prime in the Scorpio Galaxy. Her half-alien heritage gives her superhuman abilities. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Yeah, her name is Evie.
Evie. I know.
Evangelion.
Mm-hmm.
The cover art on the IMDb page looks so janky. It's incredible.
I watched the shit out of that show.
Oh, me
it was
too.
A good show.
Well,
Burt Reynolds was on it. What?
I don't remember that.
Speaking of parental conflicts,
yeah.
Yes.
I really wanted to bring to the night call table, to the red table talk, the story of Jordan Peterson and his daughter.
Oh, that my God.
Michaela Peterson, which has been an ongoing saga for the last year, but new stuff has happened. Jordan Peterson is a Canadian evo psych, dark web intellectual guy.
Is he still like on like the faculty at University of Toronto?
I'm not sure.
Is he on sick leave now that he's in a coma or whatever?
We'll get to that.
So Jordan Peterson, he sucks. He sucks as an author, but he got kind of popular because, along with a bunch of these other kind of, you know, hyper-masculine grifter men who were just like, here's how you conquer society by becoming powerful.
Well, he's like this guy who really has like clung to this idea of the masculine as being order and the feminine as being like inherently chaotic, which is just like a really, really rickety road to go down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he trips over lots of stupid ideas on his way down that road.
But a lot of people like just listening to somebody who's like, I know everything. Here's everything. So
because he doesn't come off as crazy. That's the thing about him.
Well, that's the intellectual dark web thing. Yeah. It's like you're saying fucked up shit, but you're saying it in a suit. So he's like...
You sound like a professor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's like a transphobe. He mm-hmm. is just like a misogynist. He generally just kind of sucks.
He got in big trouble. Like, I remember I first became aware of him because he was really insistently refusing to use people's correct pronouns. And there was a big kind of dust up over that. That's when I first heard of him. But yeah, he's mm-hmm. like a contrarian. And now he is trapped in a really very strange situation. So let's
by
get
a
into
woman,
that.
No less.
So last fall, I think the last time he did like a public event was last fall. He did like a town hall with Zizek, Slavoj Zizek, in Canada. After that, he had some kind of an injury that he got put on benzos for the injury. Then he got addicted to benzos. And then he was in a treatment center for the benzos that it turned out was in Russia, and that his daughter had taken him there. So let's talk about his daughter. Let's talk about Michaela Peterson.
Yes. So Michaela Peterson was apparently the first of them to get on this all meat diet thing. Is that correct? Like, she was the initiator of this?
Yeah, I think the all-meat diet is her thing.
She claims that she had been plagued by a lot of different health problems starting in childhood, like rheumatoid arthritis, and that her unorthodox approach to fixing those things was to only eat meat, salt, and water, I think, at one point. I think there's some leeway, like people have made allusions to a vegetable here or there, but she claimed that when she started the all-meat diet, all of her problems miraculously disappeared, all of her health issues.
Sure.
And then she put out a book with her dad where she's wearing a bikini on the front and he's like, looks much smaller than her.
He's like half the size and it's like this very, it looks like a shitty phone pic that was taken without him knowing and maybe like with the zoom on, so it's really blurry and he just looks sad and he's in a towel and he's like half her size. It's pretty incredible. Some people in the comments on this thread that was done by @rationaldis, Rational Disconnect on Twitter, they were like, that's a fake cover, right? Like, that's a goof. But no, that's apparently the actual design.
That's a real cover. And then I looked a little bit at some of her photos because people would be like, you must have scurvy from not eating any vegetables. And she'll be like, oh, yeah, check it out. My body's falling apart from scurvy. And it'll just be like a hot
post
bikini
another
photo.
Bikini pic, yeah.
So this thread by Rational Dis alerted us to some new developments in the Jordan Peterson saga.
Yeah.
Which are that apparently the cold turkey benzo withdrawal thing that Jordan Peterson went to Russia to do was suggested by his daughter's boyfriend, who is a Russian guy that I think he's a Russian guy that she met, who is a Stalinist and
believes he's been possessed by a demon
named Igor.
Yeah, important.
So that guy apparently said, you know, we have to go to Russia to do this treatment that they won't do in America because it's too state of the art. Turns out that treatment was our favorite thing from Valley of the Dolls. The medically
cure.
Medically induced coma,
which was like medically induced. Wait, the benzos didn't have anything to do with the coma.
The coma was to get you off the benzos.
They
put you in a coma and then you withdraw, but you're in a coma while you withdraw, so you don't like feel the effects. But then when he came out of the coma, there was a rumor that maybe he had some brain damage from being put into a coma.
Yeah, being put into a coma at a Russian clinic that's doing a procedure that apparently they're not allowed to do in the U.S. I could see how you could come out of that with a little bit of brain damage.
Yeah.
So now the Petersons are in Serbia, where they...
Michaela's living it up.
Where
she's
Michaela...
hitting the clubs. She's so, like, she has a new man in her life.
Yeah, so Michaela had a baby with the guy possessed by Igor, but now she's dating a different guy, I think a Serbian guy, who, I'm not sure if it was this guy or the Russian guy that people were like, I think he's a human trafficker.
Yeah, he seems like a legitimate sociopath. What's his name? Andrew Tate. On the thread, it describes him as a misogynist, pickup artist, and webcam pimp who runs a scam website and thinks that, quote, depression doesn't exist. So these are people that are all kind of like, you know, it follows logic that they all ended up in the same.
Yeah, I can circle. See what they're sitting around talking about for right. sure.
Who scams the scammers is the question that this answers. So Michaela posted that her father, Jordan Peterson, now has COVID and that she had had it before. And so she probably gave it to him.
Yeah, because she's just been going out clubbing with this guy.
But also, didn't she imply that her daughter got it from a playground? Because there were videos of Michaela, like, at the club with no mask, being like, there's no mask at this club, just how I like it. I'm not scared of COVID. And then she was like, oops. But I think at one point she mentioned that she thought her daughter picked it up at a playground after being like, we've been careful, which was clearly not true. And then passed it on to Jordan.
Yeah. And, you know, has been really making a point of like, oh, I was a little stuffed up. Like, here's a selfie of me when I had corona. I look fine. Like, this is only killing unhealthy people. Oops, did I say that? That kind of attitude in her post. So, yeah, super, super, as I said before we started recording, super team no one here.
Yeah, the post that got everybody sort of like, what about this, is that she was like, okay, my dad's in a Serbian hospital. He's got coronavirus now. Nobody's seen him in a year also.
Yeah.
And then she's like, here I am at the club. And then just a video of her clubbing in Serbia at a club where they're playing the Numa Numa song.
Yeah. Which just... It would be like perfect if it wasn't so horrifying.
Here's a footnote to this story that I enjoyed for it being very bizarre, which is Jordan Peterson was on a podcast, may have been Joe Rogan, I'm not sure, but he said that he had been on the all meat diet and that it was doing really tremendous things for him. And then he went off the diet. Like he had a glass of apple cider was what he had. And he said, you know, apparently I have a sensitivity to sulfites. And that's one of the things I've learned by doing this diet. So I had a glass of apple cider. And then he said it sent him into the worst panic of his life. Like
yeah.
He was completely like paralyzed by it. And he said he had never felt such a sense of impending doom as after he had had the cup of apple cider. And I was like, that's one of those things from a story that, like, I know no matter what I forget in my life, I will carry that with me until I die.
It sounds like he probably just had a panic attack because he hadn't had apple cider in so long.
I mean, I don't know. It could be like I have a sulfite allergy, but it doesn't show up like that. But I could also
like
see
headaches and stuff.
Yeah, usually. Like migraines and things like that. But I also think that if you are on a very, very restricted diet for an extended period of time, it will really give you like a psychological condition where it's fear of food, you know, fear of like toxins and stuff.
Yeah, it seems like an all meat diet. It's like, I think we talked, maybe we've had a cannibalism discussion on this podcast before, but like what's it, the organism that can infect your brain from?
Oh, prion.
Prions. Like, I feel like there has to be some kind of version of that that happens from just adopting a 100% carnivorous diet. Like, we're not carnivores. Like, and cosplaying as a carnivore will not make it so.
A lot of this stuff too seems like also like marketing eating disorders to men.
Yeah, yeah.
Under a different name, you know, a lot of the Joe Rogan stuff, too, that's just about, like, maxing out your capacities for health, but it's really, like, take all these supplements and don't eat real meals.
Well, she also was like totally scamming on her own too, because she was promoting this diet and then like had a website where it was the website for the diet and you had to pay a membership fee for it. But apparently there wasn't anything that you were actually paying for. You were just paying to like have access to a message board where you could talk to other people who are probably melting down from only eating meat. So you had a support group.
It was like $600 a year or something.
Yeah, it was something insane expensive. Like that. So everybody's scamming everybody here.
Yeah. So the conspiracy about this is that Jordan Peterson himself has not really been communicating except through Michaela. All of his missives for the past year or so have come through her, and she's like, here's what my dad's up to. And for Jordan Peterson, who obviously was a talkative dude before, people thought that seemed a little off. She released a podcast pretty recently in June that was her talking to her dad, where they are shot in a way that they're never in frame together. So there's video of him, but people are like, you can't tell when this video is from. It could really be from any time. It could be from 2019 because
weird.
He doesn't say anything specific to the circumstances of now. He talks about how he got like sick, but people think maybe that she like spliced together old footage with new footage of herself to make this podcast, to make it seem like her father is doing fine. But some people think that she's running kind of, somebody said it was like Phantom Thread with supplements.
Or it's some kind of like Munchausen's thing or something. Somebody in the comments commented about how like this is just like a 21st century gothic novel. Like it's a poisoning plot.
Totally.
It's very, very goth.
Well, somebody also, it's like either her baby daddy or her boyfriend is in charge of the Jordan Peterson company in some way, like helping to run the company now. So,
oh yeah,
there's a conspiracy that Jordan Peterson is either dead or still in some kind of a incapacitated state from being put into a medically induced coma and then having COVID. It's pretty interesting.
Do you believe it?
I mean, I don't know. I think these people are all such scammers. I can't tell if anyone's telling the truth.
So these people are like living on the fringes of how you should treat your body. Mm-hmm. Like in both in terms of like corona and diet and everything. Like, I just feel like I have no way of knowing whether Jordan Peterson is alive or not, because he's like, he's not dealing with a set of factors that I have any experience with or relation to. Like, it's so outer space. I don't know.
Here's another question. Do you think that Michaela actually only eats meat, or do you think that she cooked up this idea to sell to people, but that's not something she would even do?
I think that's very possible, because a lot of the really strict diet people on YouTube get caught like eating, like there's, you know, the vegans always get caught eating like a cheeseburger. The banana diet lady who's like, all you have to eat is bananas.
Is she drinking alcohol? Like, was she seen with a drink in her hand?
Looked like she was drinking alcohol at the
Numa
Numa Club.
She's also like smoking cigars. Like,
I think that the whole thing, the whole like marketing aspect of the all meat diet is that it allows for drinking and smoking cigars, because it's like an alpha man.
Yeah.
It's a power diet, you know?
Right.
You need those carcinogens and whatnot. Yeah.
Right. And if you become an alpha male, then like you're impervious to things that would affect regular people.
Right.
According to the logic of this,
you become like a Keith Richards of meat.
Speaking of all this, I'm curious if any of our listeners have done any super, super crazy diets like this. And if you have, will you please let us know at 240-469.
It also reminds me of when people were doing the Atkins diet.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, and people got the interpretation of what was Atkins diet is so easy. Like when you're like, oh, all meat is fine, so have as much meat as possible. Like that's not even the same. Like it's so easily turned into something super, super unhealthy, even if the principle itself starts off being somewhat sound. Because that's the thing, is like people are like, oh, I'm on the Atkins diet, so here's my Cobb salad with like a pound of bacon on it and like four eggs and no carbs.
I also think that if you're a contrarian, like Jordan Peterson's daughter, who takes after her father seemingly in that way, it's like a political thing to recommend that people only eat meat when that's clearly terrible for the environment and contentious.
Oh, yeah. And anything that they're like, oh, they're telling you this is bad for you, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's actually, they don't want you to have it because it makes you superhuman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you are hallucinating or like unable to sleep for 25 days or whatever and triggered by a cup of apple cider, it's like, that's because you're on a new plane. And that's the way all humans will be eventually someday. Like that's our peak performance level.
Yeah. I will say, weirdly enough, that this story does seem to demonstrate some truth to the women are the element of chaos theory.
A little bit. Well, like maybe she just spent her life, like she grew up having that ideology, if not like directly fed to her, like definitely in the air. So it's sort of like if your dad has been saying the entire time you're growing up, like you are an agent of chaos, you got to grow up to become an agent of chaos.
Fulfill it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of amazing that this guy who like promoted himself as the, you know, the intellectual alpha male has been like outgamed by his daughter.
Yeah.
Which is very like Game of Thrones or something. It's very Shakespearean that she's in charge. She's the alpha, clearly.
I think there's this unsettling part of the story that's just like, we have no idea what happened to him. And I feel like that's the way a lot of stories are right now in the news. Like, this is just on a more personal level, but there's so much stuff where it's like, that just went away and we have no idea where it was. Like, everything happening with the post office. It's like, there's no longer an expectation that we'll ever know what happened to Jordan Peterson. Like, this could just be the end. He got dissolved in something.
Are you saying that they're putting the mailboxes in a medically induced coma?
Essentially, yes. I think we all know what's going on here.
It's also, there's a lot of people right now where they'll have some kind of a social media presence or they'll tweet something every once in a while, like the Herman Cain thing this week where Herman Cain tweeted from beyond the grave. That even if people are like communicating, you're like, I don't actually have any idea.
Yep. Yeah.
That turned out to be his daughter. And
oh, really?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. The next day it was like the Herman Cain Foundation. And it was like, this is Herman Cain's family and we'll be like taking over this account from now on. But they clearly did it to be like, you know,
they got attention.
To be like, boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a little boo for you because it's Halloween, you guys.
Halloween.
Get excited.
Spooky time.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man
take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always gonna have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Night Call. We are joined today by a very exciting special guest, Joan Ford. Joan Ford is a writer and performer. She has written for shows like DC Superhero Girls, Thundercats Roar, and Yabba Dabba Dinosaurs. She's also half of the comedy duo Red and Yellow with Kate Raft and the host of Fall Talk, a talk show on Twitch about fall. Welcome, Joan, to Night Call.
Hi, hey, Night Call. Thank you for having me. It's nice. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, and happy fall.
Happy apparently. Fall, yes. It's finally here.
Yeah.
It's always here. It's always with us in one way or another. So happy fall.
Well, there was a fire that started up north of LA recently. So that means it's fall now, right?
Yeah. Fires in all shapes and sizes are definitely fall.
Yeah. It's like a toasty bonfire that a
toasty
Halloween
bonfire. Or a wildfire. Both have very fall vibes.
Mm-hmm. Just brown, the color brown in general.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is that there are two summers. There's summer one, which lasts until September, and then there's summer two, which should be fall, but here it is summer too. So that's the time that I start fully dissociating and pretending it's fall. But this year, things have been so crazy. Why not just start fall now?
That's kind of what I've been saying. That's kind of a lot of the show that I've been kind of doing on Twitch called Fall Talk with Kate Raft now has kind of all revolved around the idea of, yeah, you know, it's we could be existing in any time, in any place right now. You can't really tell. So, like, why not just make it the best season of the year all year round? So it's fall right now. Why not?
100%. I just have, like, I take a kind of, maybe not aesthetic, but more just sort of like sensual issue with the fall, the early fall team, because I want to be with you guys. But like, mm-hmm. fall just sounds so dry to me right now.
Emily and I are the resonant fall contrarians. Like,
oh, no.
But Kate, when we had Kate on the show a while ago, she made me reconsider fall. And hearing your excitement, I'm also like, I want to love fall.
Yeah, I understand there are like dry elements of fall, but I think they're all like so lovely. Like when you, especially like, you know, I understand that it can be hard to get into the fall mindset where we are, but like, I don't know if any of you are East Coasters, but or ever were, but thinking back to those, like, is there any, like, I can't think of like anything more lovely than like, you know, walking through a field of like freshly fallen like leaves like crunching under your feet, like that's just like the best sound and the best feeling on like a nice crisp autumn day or crisp autumn afternoon.
I just think it's so heavily contextual. Like, I grew up in Iowa, which has about the most classic fall you could ask for, and it was beautiful. I loved it so much. But I even knowing that that is like a positive, it was my favorite season at the time. Also, my birthday is in fall, so I like had positive feelings about fall. But I think in California, especially when it's like September in California, usually the hottest season of the year, the hottest month of the year. Even knowing and remembering, having that sense memory of fall in Iowa, it's still like, I can't put the two together. I can't. They're like two ends that have like opposite connectors.
There are places you can go. There are things you can do. Maybe a little harder this year, but there are definitely, yes, just like, you know, on a whole, it may be hard to get to like hit that fall mode in LA. But like, I think there are definitely like LA places you can hit up that like will really put you in that fall mode. Yeah, like maybe like really getting to that hardcore fall mode like takes a little more work where we are, but I think it's worth it.
Where do you think we should go to get in fall mode, Joan?
Okay, well, first, like, I think, like, the most easiest and most obvious is just go to Target. Go to any Target. They always have such a, like, wonderful array of fall items, whatever your price budget is. Like, you can, like, anything as, like, small scale as, like, a, like, $10 t-shirt with a little ghost on it that says, like, I'm just here for the booze to, like, and the ghost is holding, like, a little glass of wine, by the way. And, or, like, you know, you can invest in, like, full fall decor for your house. Like, so like Target, so easy. There's probably one near you. Like Target is like start of fall headquarters. Then you can go to you can do this like also, you can do this 24/7, 365 days a year. Hit up the what I call the Halloween strip in Burbank. There is a strip of like just Halloween or like horror related stores in Burbank, which is like my favorite place on earth. I honestly go to hang out there all the time. There's like a strip of like three like Halloween stores that are owned by the same company. They have, it's like the costume store, the just like memorabilia and decor store, and then there's also like the just like for kids store. So like honestly, like just the decor, just the Halloween decor store. I think they're all called Halloween Town. Go there if you want to get it. Like it's like your dream of what like in a Halloween movie or like in the Halloween episode of Buffy when it's like we're going to like the costume store and it's like very magical and big and like they have anything you could want. That's what it feels like. And then there's also like what is it? Mystic. Oh gosh, what's the name? I'm drawing a blank on the name of the store. Mystic Museum, which is also very like witchy and Halloween-y. There's a bunch of other like horror themed stores. So go to hit up the. I think it's on Magnolia. Hit up the Halloween strip in Burbank.
Yeah, Burbank is the Halloween capital year round of LA. I went to that Halloween store that you're talking about for the first time last year. And I think I went on a really hot day when I was just like, I want it to be fall, but it's 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And when you go in that store, it's like the windows are blacked out so that when you go in, it's like dark and cool. And they're playing Halloween music and there's like horror fog and there's a whole fake little graveyard with ghosts hanging all over. It was just like the most delightful experience.
You know, it's where you're going to go in and start your like Halloween adventure. You're going to get like a book or you're going to get a book or a spell or something that's going to start you on your adventure to like find, like, you know, you're going to save Halloween. That's like where you're the start of your like save Halloween from like the Evil Mayor adventure.
Well, speaking of saving Halloween, this is my concern, is that Halloween will probably be like canceled. I mean, we can't even, I don't even know if we can go to the Halloween stores, and I do love Halloween. So how are we going to make, how's COVID Halloween going to go? How are we going to make it good?
Well, here's like something I love about Halloween, and I think actually makes it a very like adaptable holiday for the circumstances we're in right now, is that I feel that like Halloween is the most like adaptable holiday. There is no like wrong way to do Halloween. It's not like, I feel like every other holiday like has these like kind of like requirements, these like requirements that are thrust upon you, whether it's like you have to be with family for like the winter holidays or Thanksgiving, or you have to travel or whatever. I feel like Halloween can really be whatever your heart wants it to be, whether, and like your Halloween, which is like, hey, I'm going to go like, you know, I'm going to have like a cider party in my backyard. We're going to like drink hot cider and just like, you know, toast and like bond around a bonfire. Or like if you want to have like a really like grisly, gnarly, like, you know, gore filled horror Halloween, going to like the Universal parks, or Not Scary Farm or whatever. They're all, it's like very adaptable. Halloween can be whatever you want it to be. So I trust and have faith that, you know what, we will, as Halloween's always adaptable, Halloween can be whatever the Halloween in your heart is. And that's why Halloween is going to be like the perfect COVID holiday. It will adapt, it will survive and thrive, and we'll like find new like awesome Halloween traditions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that because Halloween is the scary holiday, but it's also escapism, and the world is so scary right now that people do need that escapism more than ever, just to stay sane.
Yeah.
I feel like Halloween is very adaptable, and that the thing people like the most about Halloween actually is just like sitting at home and watching horror movies, which you can really do starting now.
Also costumes. But costumes, like, you can kind of get away with more maybe with a costume that people are only going to see on Zoom. It's like, you know, you don't have to have the back part done.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Joan, actually, because you are also an amazing cosplayer, a casual cosplayer.
Yeah, casual, yes.
Like, not like that you do it casually, but that your outfits are often like casual interpretations of...
Yes, I would say, yes, I love the casual label. Yes.
I'm into this. I think this is my fashion philosophy in general, but I want to hear like how you approach it.
Yeah, I have seen you do, I believe you did a Freddy Krueger last year, like a cutie Freddy Krueger outfit.
Yeah. I just kind of like combined like Hot Topic had like a Freddy Krueger, like skater dress that I just like combined with like, you know, I got like the gloves and I found it's not like the exact like Freddy fedora, but it was like a cute black one that matched the dress. So like I just put that. So like I put all those things together. It was very cute and very fun. Yeah. Yes.
That's brilliant.
I love it. I was wondering if there's any cosplaying you're planning to do for this Halloween.
I do have this idea that I've like had for a year that I didn't pull the trigger on last year, but I'm considering it on this year, is I have a jumpsuit, like a navy jumpsuit, women's jumpsuit that I bought from like H&M a year ago. And it looks like a very feminized version of like the Michael Myers like jumpsuit. So I was thinking about doing like almost like, I'm thinking of her as like kind of like power, like business, like business lady Michael Myers, where like I'm gonna have like the jumpsuit and like maybe like, you know, briefcase and like knife. And,
Michael Myers at the wing.
Yes, like, exactly.
Girl boss Michael Myers.
Yeah. Michael Myers leaning in
from the jumpsuit era, like jumpsuit feminism.
Yeah. Exactly. Jumpsuit. I love that jumpsuit feminist Michael Myers. As opposed to doing the mask, like kind of like suggest the mask through like makeup, like with probably like, you know, a dark eye that kind of like fades into a whiter ring around them.
Oh, I love this.
Yes.
Because I am also a year-round Halloween person. I think also in California, those of us who are into fall, it doesn't come with like the actual dread of winter that real fall comes with other places. We just like to do it year round.
I think it also doesn't have, I think, the positive aspects of fall, which is that it actually cools down, which is the greatest thing about fall on the East Coast or in the Midwest, is that you're like, oh, I don't have to like use the AC anymore or whatever. That's a very big, that's like a wonderful body feeling. Like that's where the fall guy comes from.
I think when we had Kate Raft on last year to talk about fall, which we now, this is our new yearly tradition, is having
in August,
Joan and Kate on for Fall Pod. I realized like how many of the fall people I know are from places that don't really have fall.
Yes.
And that how much of it is sort of disassociating your way through fire season.
Yeah, it is probably a little bit of like a, you know, brain worms being like, I'm going to like, I'm going to make it this thing. I'm going to force it to be this thing that it's not, that I like, I used to love and have very positive associations with. But you know what? Our reality is what we make it. So if my reality is fall, I'm going to force it to be fall.
Like staring at a burning hillside, being like, ooh, cozy.
So cozy, ooh. So
sometimes I'll be in Griffith Park and I'll be like, ooh, look, all the leaves are brown because it's fall.
Yes.
Well, I got a tree. I got like for my birthday, I think a couple of years ago, I got one of the only trees that changes color that can grow in Los Angeles. I got like a teeny tiny one for cheap and it's a sweet gum. And they have the same shape leaves as maples and they turn the same color. So they get like the like deep red and the orange. And they drop little like pokey little seed pods that look kind of creepy.
Ooh,
they look kind of
did
like
you get
viruses.
A Halloween tree?
I did.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I wanted to this came up because this was in the news. I think Molly posted this link in our chat or on our doc, but that the Halloween, because Halloween basically isn't happening this year, that the candy is all going on sale extra early, which just reminds, it's just like the 4th of July thing with the fireworks all over again, except this time it's just sugar instead of explosives. But we're going to be dealing with this like glut of Halloween candy for like months before and months after the actual holiday. So I feel like this is a little more manageable than the fireworks thing, but
nicer to dogs too. Nicer to dogs. As long as I guess you don't like, you know, give your dog the candy, but,
right.
But much nicer for dogs.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think for a lot of people, including me, much of the fun of the Halloween stuff is the anticipation. By the time it's actually like almost October 31st, I'm often a little bit like, I've had enough. But it's just fun to start like anticipating something. And when they start rolling the stuff out early, I get very excited.
Me too. Also, because I feel like I don't know that I ever get sick of fall or Halloween. But what I'll say, like, I feel like there is such like a sharp cutoff for Halloween and like the fall and kind of like the fall holidays in general. Like once Halloween is over, like November 1st, it feels like sometimes even before, it's like we're hauling in the winter holiday stuff. It feels like, you know, even Thanksgiving, which should absolutely be like a fall holiday, has been absorbed by like the winter holidays. Like it's just kind of like, you know, it feels like, honestly, the Thanksgiving has become, of like, this is like the official, like, this is the official start of Christmas. It's like, you have Santa, like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is all a build up to like Santa. And like, you know, it's like all a build up to Black Friday and just like you get, and like, I feel like, you know, they've like we don't get that like Christmas or the winter holidays gets a nice little like kind of like after the fact, like after December 25th or whatever, you get a little like grace period. You're like, I can still be in the holiday mood, but it's like,
that's like the worst week of the year. IMHO, I think
it's like, if that's, I agree. And also like, if we're going to like, you know, if Christmas is going to like start, or if the winter holidays are going to start encroaching on like fall, then like I think it's totally within fall's right to start encroaching on summer.
100%. Yes, I think
I like that.
Everything's getting pushed back a little bit. I totally agree with Kate that fall starts the day after July 4th.
I agree with that. Yes. I agree. Yeah, it should just be a sharp, the same way that like winter holidays are like a sharp, it's like a sharp cutoff, like Halloween, then we're into the winter stuff. Like July 4th should be a super sharp cutoff. Like we just like we go all in on fall.
Because people get excited for summer leading up to summer. But like after July 4th, nobody really likes summer that much anymore. And then it becomes August.
I think it should start on August 15th. That's my hot take, because kids, well, in LA, kids are already back to school with the quotes because it's Zoom. So they started, like, I think some schools started this week. So I guess you could say like the first day of their school could start it. But August 15th, I think, sounds reasonable to me. I can't accept July 5th quite, but I can accept July 5th as the date when you start anticipating August 15th. The official start of fall.
I think in general, like, I think it's healthy for Americans especially to broaden their definition of what fall can be, in the same way you were talking about broadening our definition of what Halloween can be. Because I would like to see, I think we talked about this a bit with Kate, I would like to see an actual map of the world where people get fall in the classic sense that has been sold to us by Big Fall. Because I think we're talking about all fall here, like, but Big Fall is a real concern, and that is really defined what fall looks like and what fall should be. And I think that fall takes all, you know, all forms.
Fall is a mindset.
Yes.
Can I just ask, what Halloween candy is everyone looking forward to buying this year early, starting in August when it'll melt?
I am weirdly a big fan of any candy that has like characters or shapes like pressed upon it. So like I know this year like Hershey's is doing like a line of their little mini bars with like the with like DC characters like pressed into them. That's like just the like dumb gimmicky thing that I really get into for Halloween, and I've already gotten and like consumed a bag of those.
I have to say, like, yeah, the I think gimmicky stuff, like, I've been going this past week, I've been going through just piles and piles of junk and stuff from my childhood all through college, everything. And I'm realizing the thing I liked a lot and that I continually run into are like gimmicky, whatever the pop culture thing of the moment is, Valentine's cards. I always have a ton of those. I have a bunch of like Herbie Fully Loaded Valentine's cards. Like I always pick up whatever the stupidest thing is of the year. And I feel a similar way about Halloween candy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if there's like Minions Halloween candy, I would get that.
Oh, yes, I would be all over Minions Halloween candy and Minions Valentine's.
Yeah.
I love when they put a Reese's cup into a different shape and call it something else. So I like the pumpkin Reese's pumpkins shape or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I like the Reese's ghosts.
Yes.
I'm allergic to peanuts, so sadly I've never had a Reese's, but I do like, and I can admire those from afar.
Do you have, I would imagine peanuts and traces of peanuts are in a ton of Halloween candy.
I've dealt with it like as a kid since I was like very little. So I definitely know what to like avoid. Like they're like, they will put like, may have traces of peanuts on like everything just to like cover their ass, in case. But like, so now I know like which ones are like serious, like M&M's, I will have a very like bad reaction to.
Even the plain ones?
The plain ones like actually get like get that in there.
Yeah.
Whereas like Milky Ways not Snickers. Snickers obviously has peanuts, but Milky Ways and Three Musketeers will like say that, but like they're fine. So like I know what to avoid and what I can enjoy.
So this is why you like Halloween, because it's like a dangerous game.
Yes. Like, you know, our parents always warned us about like, you know, there might be razors in those candies, which was like kind of like thing. But I really had that like danger. Like one of these pieces of candy could be like a time bomb for me.
Oh my God. Did you have to were you forbidden from eating anything until you got home and and then you could go your parents could go through everything.
I found out I was too little to remember this, but my parents found out I was allergic to peanuts on a Halloween. I would like had to really? Go to like when I was like one, my grandmother fed me a peanut butter Halloween cookie, and like that night my parents had to like take me to the emergency room.
I'll
pass that oh no on to my my mom, because I can't remember. I don't remember it, but she remembers it very well.
That's fully your Halloween origin story.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's that's like your Harry Potter getting like struck in the forehead or whatever Halloween.
I can truly say like I survived Halloween, and I'm proud of that.
That is the origin story for businesswoman Michael Myers.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Oh my God. Perfect.
She knows
this right now. This is incredible.
Yeah. She knows every Halloween could be her last Halloween. Like, you know, that's the thrill of Halloween. It's fun, but it's a little bit dangerous. And like, you've got to embrace that.
And big businesswoman Michael Myers is like, she's an attorney and she does like allergy damages suits and stuff. Like, like she'll take your case if your kid has a bad reaction to a
she'll
Reese's.
Do that. Yes. Yes.
I will say one of my favorite yearly Halloween traditions that you can do, because it doesn't involve going indoors, is going to the Michael Myers house in South Pasadena. Mm-hmm. Which you can just like stand in front of and take a picture. And every year there are families that go to take pictures in front of it. And I found that really amazing when I first started seeing it, because I was like, wow, these are cool, like horror parents who let their young kids see Halloween. And then the kids also love the movie Halloween. So last year I saw there was like a dad dressed as Michael Myers with his son, who was also dressed as Michael Myers, like a little Michael Myers. And anytime somebody wanted to take a photo, they would both like hold their knives up at the same time.
I love
The dad would be like, hold your knife up, son. Put your knife up for the photo.
I wonder if there is going to be like kind of a bunch of innovation around Halloween activities that can be enjoyed from a car, especially in LA, because there's always so many good haunts and like Halloween attractions in LA. It's kind of like known for it. But if somebody can figure out the drive-through haunted house, that's yep. going to be incredible.
That is such a good idea.
I believe that's actually already happening. I read a news article about, I don't think it's in LA. I think it's like a little more east, but someone is doing a like a drive-through like zombie apocalypse. So it's like you drive through, it's like you are like, it's a great combination of like concept and like the right aesthetic for it. It's like you're like trying to escape like your zombie infested town.
And like, what could be more appropriate right now?
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, like, I know some people might think like things are so scary, like why would we need to do things that are also, you know, fake scary? But yeah. I do think it could be really cathartic to just like scream it out a little bit this year.
Yeah.
You know what they should do? They should remake drive-through car washes into drive-through haunted houses, because there's one at like Fletcher and Riverside, just a little bit east of Hollywood. And if they slowed it down and then instead of the suds, it was blood.
Oh, I love that.
This is a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And work on this.
Keep the car wash angle. Like, just make it like a haunted, like, you know, call it like, I don't know, like scar wash or something. which sounds like a doctor cleaning your scar.
Yeah, just dye the soap red. It would still probably work as soap, and it would look like you're getting like a carry shower.
And the guys
shower.
That like squeegee you could be dressed up, and they could just like hit your, right? Things could go wrong. I'm seeing the potential for things going wrong.
No, I love
wrong.
This idea.
You know what? I mean, the brilliant thing about the drive-through haunt would be that you could do like full contact or whatever, but you're in your car, so it doesn't matter. So you can have like the zombie guy get on your windshield, so long as he doesn't like do damage to your car or whatever.
Exactly.
Which would be, it would be very thrilling whole thing of like, oh God, somebody's touching me.
You could even like, get like a sticker for your windshield at the start to be like, this is the level of contact I want my car to have.
And you can honk if for your safe word, like
yes, yes.
honk, honk.
I think the cars, like with a drive-through car wash, as I'm thinking, as I'm creating my business plan right now, I think one of the things that scares me about a drive-through haunted house is like the autonomy of the driver being scared and then potentially injuring someone with the car. So I think it's really important that the cars are on that track.
Yeah.
In neutral.
In neutral.
Agreed.
Yeah. Then if you get terrified, there's nothing can go wrong. And I think that the stick, I'm so into this. Like, I'm not even joking. This is finally got me excited about
investors. Let's make this happen.
Sharks. Time to tick in.
Yeah. Like, I think this is good. Like, you embraced fall, and like, you came to a place, you found your fall, which I'm very happy for you.
Thank you, Joan. You did it.
We did it.
Thank you, businesswoman Michael Myers, also.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I had been thinking, like, all they would have, you know, to the scariest thing would just be to like open Knott's Berry Farm this year, you know?
As much as I love those places, and as sad as I am, because I've started doing the thing where I do the haunts like on and off. Like, I'll do a year of going to the haunts and then a year of not going. And this was supposed to be my year going, and I'm so sad that it's off. But I mean, yes, they are just like, that is just like you being like crammed into like a very tight hallway with like hundreds of people.
Yeah. They already were such a probably a disease vector anyway.
Oh, yes.
Just like, yeah, doubly so.
Not this time. Well, before we wrap it up, I wanted to ask, are there any like movies that you watch every year? Any like traditions that you have?
So I'll put out two that I always watch because I think they like both encompass like both sides of kind of fall. For the more like kind of like witchy, like harvesty side of fall, I will watch Practical Magic. I think Practical Magic is like pure fall movie. I love it. So I really love Practical Magic. And then for like the like a more like Halloween-y but still like fun horror, I really like, and I'm drawn back to it more than any of the other like Kevin Williamson like horror movies of that like late 90s, early 2000s generation, even more than Scream. I'll always watch The Faculty. I think The Faculty is also a great fall movie, not just because it combines like, you know, horrors, like, you know, the horror side of like Halloween or fall, but it's also got like a very real like going back to school vibe.
Yeah, it's
like
a back to school movie.
It's a back to school movie and a Halloween movie. So you like can't do better. Those are my two, I don't know if they're like my like, you know, top picks, but there's always the ones that I come back to every fall.
I watched Jurassic Park last night, which I felt like was a great summer into fall transitional horror movie.
I love that.
Oh, that movie feels so straight up summer to me. Just all the tropicalia.
Yeah, but it's the end of summer.
Is it? Okay.
I have one last question for Joan too. So Joan, on Fall Talk, didn't you just recently have a big chill sweater bracket?
Yes, we changed it to the big chill one, but we just made it we did the top sweaters from all of cinema. So I think we're going to do that, and then we'll do the big chill one, and then those two, and then like I'll have those two sweaters face off.
This is amazing. I feel like our listeners will really appreciate this as we do. So stay tuned for the sweater bracket.
Yeah.
Yes.
In case you're wondering, what did I call it? It was the 2020 Sweater 16 Cinematic Sweater Bracket, and the winner was Fievel's Tunic.
Oh.
That's a great one.
That's a good, yeah. It may not be the first sweater you think of, but it's like, it's a good sweater. It looks very cozy.
Yeah. No, totally. I watched Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim. I guess it's called The Secret of Nim, the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has like a little cape cloak. And I was like, oh, that's where this desire to have a cloak that I've had my whole life came from. Ooh,
Don Bluth knew. And Anastasia too. Don Bluth like knew how to like give us like cozy fall wear.
Yeah. Oh, I love Don Bluth.
I love Don Bluth, yes.
Joan, you and Kate are premiering Fall Talk next Saturday.
Yes, at the Austin Sketch Fest.
Which will be online.
Yes.
And where can people find that?
You can find it at twitch.tv/coldtowntv. That's spelled COLDTOWNETV. TV. And yeah, we are going up Saturday, August 22nd at 8 p.m. Central Time. And it's going to be, yeah, and I think the whole like festival is free to watch on Twitch. There's like a lineup is amazing. Jamie Loftus is there. Like there's just like a lot of very cool, wonderful people. And like, we're very excited to be a part of it.
Cool.
Yeah. I saw Jamie's doing a girl boss, girl whom is boss,
yes.
quarantine special, which seems excellent.
Yes, new material, very excited is what I hear.
Cool. And everybody can find Joan, the Queen of Fall, and her assistant, Kate, who will be playing Pumpkin Spice Latte.
Yes. yeah, that's at, you can find us at twitch.tv/JoanHaleyFord. And Fall Talk is every second and fourth Thursday of the month at 6 p.m.
Awesome.
And you guys have a comedy duo called Red and Yellow,
yes.
Which are, of course, two of the most fall colors.
Absolutely, yes. That wasn't even intentional. We weren't thinking about it when we named it that. And it was like, oh, it just, of course, that's where our brains went.
You're like, we have to take those colors back from M&M's.
Absolutely, yes. The poison candy.
Well, Joan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, what a wonderful start of fall, which mm-hmm. starts now.
Happy fall and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you too.
Yes.
Happy fall.
Happy Halloween.
Bye, guys.
Bye. And thank you so much for listening to Night Call. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on social media, on Twitter at Night Call Pod and Instagram and Facebook at Night Call Podcast. You can also support our Patreon if you want more bonus episodes, our monthly newsletter, mixtapes, all sorts of fun stuff. We are at patreon.com/nightcall. We will be back next week. Take care, y'all. Have a good one.
Girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.